This is the blowback bit of American foreign policy. They armed, funded, and to an extent trained some of the Arabs, not realizing that they would come after the Americans once they'd finished with the Soviets.
Maybe there would still have been an Al-Qaeda without Afghanistan, but it might have taken much longer for it to come about.
Once the Mujahideen won its war against the Soviets, the CIA upped sticks and left Afghanistan. The CIA men had accomplished their covert mission, and they didn't care what happened to Afghanistan after they left.
When the Soviets finally withdrew, the Americans effectively withdrew their interest in Afghanistan. They ceased to be concerned about what happened to it. And far from continuing to intervene, they effectively left the field open for the Taliban to come in with the consequences that we understand.
The agency's role in Afghanistan can be looked at in two ways, it seems to me. In a short-term perspective, sure, the agency drove the Russians out. But over the long term, well, you know, it's big trouble with the Islamists. There are 1.3 billion of them now, and they're all very mightily upset with us.
Every spy organization's worst nightmare is the discovery of an enemy within the agency. I don't need to tell you that. Moles, double agents, and defectors can inflict massive damage on the country they're meant to be working for. And the CIA has first-hand knowledge of just how damaging an enemy within can be.
You never think there's a spy in your neighborhood.
On February 24th, 1994, Aldrich Ames, a CIA Soviet expert who'd worked at the CIA for nearly 30 years, was arrested with a suitcase stuffed full of cash and a plane ticket to Russia in his pocket. As the case unfolded, the CIA discovered that Aldrich Ames had been spying for the Soviets for nearly 10 years. And the information he'd provided to the KGB left the CIA in a state of chaos which they're still recovering from today.
One thing that everybody has learned throughout history is that if a person is dedicated to betraying their country, while they may eventually be caught, it takes a while. There's no immediate solution. There's no magic truth detector. There's no truth serum. There's nothing that can solve the problem immediately.
I met a handler who was handling Aldrich Ames in the early 90s. And this handler believed that with the information being provided by Ames, the Soviet leadership could change the course of events in the Cold War with the United States. So the stakes were high.
Ames had one of the most sensitive jobs in American intelligence, serving for 3 years as chief of the CIA office charged with protecting CIA operations from the KGB. Understandably, this is the one place the CIA couldn't afford to have a spy. Yet Ames continued to pass top-secret information to the Soviets for years, and the KGB paid him handsomely for it.
Money don't get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.
Ames had no ideology. Ames did this because he thought he should be making more money. He wanted nice cars, he wanted a nice house, he wanted a lifestyle that he wasn't able to earn on a government salary, and he believed that by handing over information that that would bring him a fortune, and in fact it did. It was in excess of $2 million and probably closer to $2.5 million, which would have made him probably the highest paid spy in history.
He traded people's lives for $2.5 million.
He pled guilty, he received a sentence of life imprisonment without parole, and he's currently serving it today.
Aldrich Ames was responsible for a number of the CIA's most important sources in Russia and the Soviet Union being compromised, caught, and executed.
Mr. Ames caused the death of these people as surely as if he had pulled the trigger.
This was a major intelligence disaster, and the response of the CIA to those disasters was really almost tragic. It was unable to figure out for many years how it was compromised, how it was penetrated by the Russian intelligence service.
For more than 10 years, Aldrich Ames handed over hundreds of secrets to the Soviets, and no one in the CIA had any idea he was a mole.
Aldrich Ames was unquestionably the most damaging spy that the CIA ever experienced. It destroyed morale within the agency, and it caused damage that is lasting to this day.
The fact that he was able to betray so many great assets in the Soviet Union is despicable.
We had a huge betrayal inside, and the turmoil from that is goes on till this day.
These are the secrets of the CIA, and in our final part, we're coming right up to date with intelligence issues that are still making front pages around the world today. After the break, we'll be looking into just how the CIA got it so wrong on Iraq and on 9/11.
They missed it. They missed it completely.
It's very unlikely we can stop the next attack in America.
Weapons of mass destruction was a fantasy.
What we had is the CIA lying, cheating, and deceiving the American people itself for the benefit of the president.
Welcome back to Secrets of the CIA. We've already looked at the CIA's operations since its founding in the 1940s, right up to how it saw the Soviets off in Afghanistan. In our final part, we'll bring the CIA's story right up to date, starting with one of the defining moments of our time. On September 11th, 2001, the unthinkable happened. 2,992 people died that morning in the USA as everyone around the world watched the attack unfold live on television.
In the days after 9/11, it became clear that the USA and the CIA knew exactly who was responsible for these attacks. The CIA had been watching Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda network for years, but had done nothing to stop them carrying out the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
When the attack of 9/11 occurred, I think more than anything else, it was a feeling that this probably didn't have to have happened had we been more aggressive against Osama bin Laden.
This whole operation, months in the planning, relatively expensive in terrorist terms, and so involved and intricate, completely got by them. They missed it. They missed it completely.
God, that was a failure of intelligence. It was a failure of imagination. It was a systemic failure of every intelligence service that was in the least bit professional.
Someone who knows exactly what's inside the CIA's classified bin Laden files is Mike Schur, the CIA analyst responsible for spying on Al-Qaeda from late 1995.
The agency began looking at Osama bin Laden primarily because of external factors. In the middle 90s, we shifted away from a kind of an exclusive look at Lebanese Hezbollah and the Palestinian groups to a broader look at Sunni extremism around the world. And almost wherever we looked, bin Laden's name came up as a benefactor, as an inspiration, or as a nuts and bolts provider of military weapons or documents.
The very reason the CIA exists is to stop America's enemies from attacking the USA. Yet the CIA failed to gather any intelligence about the World Trade Center attack before it occurred.
Bin Laden pretty much set it out what his strategy was going to be against the United States. There weren't a lot of surprises in bin Laden. So when you look at the analytical work at the CIA ultimately, and the failure to realize the role of Al-Qaeda in 1993 in the World Trade Center, and the fact that bin Laden always bent back to his failures to try to get it right, you have to wonder how in the world did this intelligence failure take place?
Incredibly, this wasn't the first time allies of Osama bin Laden had tried to blow up the Twin Towers. Back in 1993, Islamic terrorists bombed the World Trade Center, killing 6 people and injuring over 1,000 more. Yet the CIA still had no idea what was coming on 9/11.
We did not have enough people, and we did not have enough people who were experienced on the Sunni target, on the Islamic target generally. And that remains true to this day.
We had heard testimony by George CIA Director George Tenet during the 9/11 investigation that he had declared war on Al-Qaeda in the late 1990s. However, the investigators were able to uncover that he had only applied maybe one or two or as many as half a dozen analysts. So one has to question what kind of war that was.
By assigning only a few people to the Al-Qaeda investigation, the CIA made a huge mistake. But it wasn't the CIA's only error in handling the Bin Laden case.
They simply didn't have enough Arabic speakers. They didn't have enough Arabic speakers, crucially, on the ground in the Middle East. And they didn't have enough that are listening to all the stuff and reading all the stuff and analyzing all the stuff. And so in that respect, they were blind. They learned the hard way. It's no good watching from a satellite and listening from the radio bug. You've got to have more than that. They are only just now beginning to start to infiltrate. They're paying lots of money to people, and they are getting sometimes fairly good information, but they're starting from 911, where, of course, we now know they should have started in the early 90s.
If the CIA failed to spot 9/11, then you have to ask, will it be able to do anything to stop the next attack?
At the end of the day, law enforcement and the CIA is faced with an impossible task because no one has moved forward in protecting the borders of the United States. It's very unlikely we can stop the next attack in America.
When Bush and Blair proposed the invasion of Iraq back in early 2003, both leaders insisted the only reason for the war was to stop Saddam from using his weapons of mass destruction on the rest of the world.
They claimed this wasn't a humanitarian mission to save the Iraqi people from Saddam, or one to secure access to Iraq's rich oil reserves.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
The president stood before the world and presented an intelligence report from the CIA that proved Saddam had weapons of mass destruction and that he was intent on using them. Fast forward 2 years, and we all now know that no weapons of mass destruction have ever been found in Iraq. The CIA either made a massive intelligence mistake, or it chose to sex up its estimate to give Bush the war he wanted. The story is still unfolding. Scott Ritter, a UN chief weapons inspector who worked in Iraq before the war, maintains the CIA knew that Saddam had disarmed, but that they chose to ignore the facts.
Weapons of mass destruction was a fantasy. We had accounted for the production equipment. We had accounted for the spare parts. We had accounted for the missiles. And yet when I briefed the CIA, they rejected it. They said that our work was flawed because it relied upon statements made by Iraqi officials that couldn't be trusted. The CIA said there were up to 200 missiles left in Iraq. We found nothing. It didn't matter what the facts were. They had no intention of allowing the inspectors ever to determine that Iraq had complied with its obligation to disarm.
The CIA turned to weapons expert Robert Gallucci to analyze their intelligence for them.
I thought that there was a very good case, even a conclusive case, that Iraq had regenerated its programs in chemical weapons and biological weapons. I came to that conclusion, I think, based on assumptions about Iraqi intentions. Saddam was still there. Capabilities, scientists were still there. Time, opportunity. Been 4 years without inspectors.
the way in which the intelligence services looked at the Saddam Hussein regime was as the type of regime that lied about whether it had weapons of mass destruction or not. Consequently, they interpreted almost every bit of information which seemed to suggest that he might have as being information showing that he did have.
They didn't have somebody inside their regime at a high enough level who knew exactly what the truth was. And it was all satellite images. It was all guys who'd escaped 10 years earlier. The information wasn't new enough. The information wasn't hard enough.
The CIA made serious errors when analyzing the intelligence coming out of Iraq before the war.
What we had is the CIA lying, cheating, and deceiving the American people itself for the benefit of the president. And that's a violation of the moral compass of the CIA, if there is indeed a moral compass at the CIA. This is wrong.
Nowhere in the CIA's program does it say, thou shalt tell the big boss that which he wishes to hear. And if that is what the CIA now does, then they can boil it down to one person. You just hire a yes man, he can walk around telling you what you want to hear.
Making intelligence mistakes is one thing, but many argue that George Tenet, the CIA director, fixed the WMD report to back up President Bush in his drive to go to war with Iraq.
Come in here and say thank you.
There's no way the director of the CIA could have believed any of the intelligence information they had out there that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. If he believed it, he was incompetent.
The whole world now knows how massively the CIA got it wrong on WMD. Trust in the CIA is at an all-time low.
The next time any Western politician says, believe me, I've got these really cool secret documents that say that there's a bad guy out there and we've got to go get him, I mean, he'll be out of office the next day. I mean, it's now the most comical lie you can tell in politics.
Even people with goodwill say, yeah, look, everyone agreed he had WMD, but you still made a mistake. Why should we believe you this time? Whether this time is North Korea, whether it's Iran, whether it's something around the corner that they're trying to look at that's going to come up and bite us, whatever it is, people are going to be even more skeptical than they always have been.
The threat to this country, the threat to the world, is terrorism. And the antidote to terrorism is intelligence.
We're at war with Islamist extremists, and in war, you have to take some extraordinary measures in order to be successful.
They simply have to be dealt with. The Osama bin Ladens and the cells of people that are still out there, they just simply have to be removed.
The CIA is going to target someone. If there's going to be an assassination plot, we're going to bloody our own image around the world and create more terrorists.
When you have an agency that operates in the dark, you are going to have extraordinary abuses of power.
The truth is that people are dying in our name, people are getting murdered in our name, people are being experimented on in our name.
The CIA, as it's currently manifested, not be tolerated. It must be done away with. We would be better off today just doing away with the CIA and starting over.
It's a deadly, subversive cancer of corruption and incompetence within American society and as a projection of that society overseas. It's an enormous danger.
I'd have to say, unless we have a second 9/11, the odds of the agency changing over the next 25 years are almost zero.
So, happy birthday to all our friends at the CIA. That's 60 years of defending our liberty, or, to put it another way, attacking our freedoms. And as we enter the fifth year on the war on terror, please don't think for a moment that the CIA will play any less of a role, or that it'll use any less controversial tactics than it has done in the last 60 years. Expect to see plenty more headlines and to hear plenty more secrets of the CIA in the years to come. Good night.